The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. Tons happening, tons happening. Thank you for being with us and checking things out. Please visit ProAmericaReport.com, ProAmericaReport.com. We actually are streaming live from the courthouse in downtown New York City. Our friend Paul Ingracia is down there, and we've had some coverage down there. We're going to have more later on Tuesday and Wednesday. In particular, the Pro-America Report, we've got a TV version of the Pro-America Report that is over at on Rumble, the Rumble DC studio, this DC studio of Rumble. Been very kind and has encouraged me to do my program, a TV program in their studios. And Congressman Barry Loudermilk is a recent guest. So you want to go there, go to Rumble and then track down Pro America Report at Eagle Ed Martin. At Eagle Ed Martin is my channel. And you can check it out. It's going to be a great ongoing presence. And like I said, Ingracia is down at the courthouse in New York City. All right. But I don't want to spend too much time on the lawfare against Donald Trump. We got a lot to cover there. But I want to spend a few minutes catching up on the so-called 1512C charge. We have been so close to this for so long. It's important to stop and explain it back and slow down because I've been in you know, 3.5 years now. The January 6th defendants, the January 6th prisoners, many of them have been charged with this special 1512C charge. And I'll put up on social media the best explainer about this right now, because the case has gone to the Supreme Court. Earlier on Tuesday, the case was argued before the Supreme Court, and I listened to much of the argument. It sounds like the Supreme Court is very critical, probably. I'd say at least a 5-4 majority, but maybe 6-3 seem to be, saying, what are you doing here? Because 1512, and that case, by the way, is Fisher v. United States, Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R. The challenge here is that 18 U.S.C. 1512C is a part of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002. And it has been used to charge hundreds and hundreds of the January 6th defendants in such a way that it's a felony with a 20-year maximum penalty. And so when you get charged with misdemeanor, for, say, vandalism or for trespass in the wrong place or things like that, then you are in a position where, you're not going to go to jail. You're going to pay a fine. And then whammo, you get this 1512 felony added to it. And most people, I think many people say, hey, that provision, it's about obstruction and destruction of evidence. Is it really meant to cover what happened on January 6th, or are they overcharging? And I can tell you, as a practical matter, many of the people who were charged with you know, misdemeanor, 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 and then this felony, they were in such a position that they took deals, they took plea deals, they went to trial and lost because it was just a hard, hard charge and such a big penalty. That's why the plea deals happened. So our friend Carrie Severino, who's really very, very, very bright and good writer, she has written up over at National Review of what's called a bench memo and explained this all out. I'll put a link to that, and I hopefully it is available. Sometimes it gets behind a paywall. But here's the thing. When I listened to the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court, they basically were saying, hey, wait a second, you've construed this, you use this, and you're asking us to construe this in a way that goes beyond what it was intended. And one of the lower court judges said that, and that's how this got up to the Supreme Court, because one of the lower court judges, Judge Nichols, said, hey, you know, I'm going to dismiss this because I don't quite think that it's supposed to be there. The language is not quite there. And here's what I have to tell you. In my mantra, distrust, then verify, you know, that the starting point is that you cannot trust what's going on in our with our government, that you just cannot operate from what was the old instinct of trusting that they were doing the right thing, that the government was going to be, that they were going to deal straight with you, that they were going to somehow give you the right truth and you could operate from it. No, the opposite is true. The opposite is true, that you have to distrust, starting point. And when I see, and when I look closely at the prosecution in these cases and how they handled it and what they did in terms of the way that they treated these citizens and the way that they used the narrative to say something more dramatic, to say something, heightening the not just the drama, but the tension, and called it insurrectionist and all that, and used a 20-year maximum penalty in prison as a way just to bludgeon people. It's really hard to do anything other than feel like you can't trust them at all. You cannot trust them at all. That's what it feels like. And so the starting point is, hey, wait a second. You guys way overcharged this. You know, it came out at one, in one of the discussions. I don't know if it was in a congressional hearing, if it was in a public setting, like in a debate or in TV, but it came out that the Mueller investigation considered charging 1512, this obstruction of official proceeding, trying to use that to charge Trump and others. In other words, if it's as wide open as they say, any obstruction of official proceeding, remember what, in this case, what it meant was they go into the Capitol, and because there is an electoral count, a college count happening, and Mike Pence gavels that out and says, we got to take a break because there's all these people here. That gaveling out, that obstruction of official proceeding is what counts as the decision. So you might not have thought, well, we're going to walk through the Capitol. Why would you stop counting? Or pick another one. Basically, you're creating a statute, a felony statute that's so broad, you can imagine enforcing it against someone who stands up at a school board, someone who interrupts at a legislative session. Now, in the argument for the Supreme Court, I think it was Justice Alito, who could have been one of the other justices, one of the conservative justices, said, well, what about if you pull a fire alarm and disrupt the voting, which is what happened. Democrat Congressman Bowman did that. Or what if you disrupt a legal proceeding or even a confirmation? I don't think he said confirmation, but Kavanaugh's, obviously Justice Kavanaugh, then Judge Kavanaugh, had his confirmation disrupted. And so what is the difference? And they went into this mens rea, what your intention was, nexus and all. At a certain point, what you have is an overbroad statute that can be used to target your opponents. If you want to say political opponents, that feels true to me. But at the very least, you could say the opponents of your point of view, that you say, well, those people aren't allowed to say that. They can't say that they're so upset that our elections are not auditable and that there's something seemed to be wrong. We're so upset. We're saying do something about it. That's not an acceptable viewpoint. It is acceptable, by the way, to have a viewpoint that you're going to obstruct an official proceeding by jumping up and yelling code pink and that Kavanaugh is a bad guy, or actually blocking the Golden Gate Bridge because you protest against Gaza. What if you were supposed to go across the Golden Gate Bridge to go to a legal proceeding? You're a prosecutor or a public defender, and the people, now I think they'd say you didn't know the mens rea. But let's say it differently. What if you're supposed to go across the Golden Gate Bridge to go to a meeting of the American Jewish Federation? And so, and for a public hearing. And so the people that don't want that to happen obstruct that official proceeding. Well, they're not charged. They're not charged. Only the January 6th folks. We got a text, or I was chatting back and forth with John Schlafly during the oral arguments of the Supreme Court. And the government in the Supreme Court, they said only 350 of the nearly 1,400 January 6th defendants were hit with this charge, as if 350 is okay. Well, that's not that many. 350? You're using this hammer against 350 people, changing their lives. So my point here is this. It looks like the Supreme Court is going to get into this. Who knows? I don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to handle it and sort of strike the whole thing down. I tend to think that they'll look for a narrow grounds to sort of moderate what's going on. But we'll see. But at the very least, we're seeing more and more unraveling of this ridiculous narrative machine, that the narrative that January 6th was an insurrection and everybody, one side has a white hat on and they're acting like the heroes and the other was bad guy. Well, we've got a hearing this week from a Congressman Loudermilk and his committee that there's whistleblowers that said, we know that Trump offered to get the military, the National Guard, and they didn't want him. So it's coming apart. All right, I'm out of time. We got to take a break. We'll be back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. That's what you need to know. Be back in a moment. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Great privilege to catch up with a friend of mine. I've known him for years and years and years. Observed him do so many great projects. Jason Jones is he's an author. He's written books. He's an activist. He's a film producer. But primarily, I would say to me, he's a guy who is really charismatic at being conservative and pro-life and a believer. And he's amazing. The number of Bella was a movie that was maybe the first time I really saw how powerful his support could be. I think he was the executive producer on that. But also there was that movie, The Stoning of Soraya M., which is Eduardo Vestad. I never say the name right, Jason. Verastegui. And that guy came to an event I was at, and he was unbelievable. So anyway, welcome, Jason Jones. Welcome to the program. Thanks for everything you're doing. Great to have you on.
Great to hear your voice, Ed Martin.
Yeah. It's funny. We were talking offline as we got on. We know each other for years. And he got booked on my show and he said, is this Ed? And I said, yes, it's me. It's me. So, all right, Jason. So first of all, you're the president of the Human Rights Education and Relief Organization, HERO, abbreviated. So you're really thought leader. That's the way to say it. You do lots of different things. I wanted to ask you about this Arizona Supreme Court decision that came out in the last few weeks because it got swallowed up by both the fake news media and then by the politics of the moment. So walk us through, Jason, what you saw, what an 1864 abortion ban means and meant. What's going on here?
Yeah, you know, I just think, as always, the GOP misses wonderful opportunities, softballs pitched to us, and right. We swing and we miss. And, you know, this 1864, it's not an abortion ban. It's an 1864 protection of women and children from predators and from violence and from abortion. You know, the abortion laws in the West were actually the fruit of an organization that was founded around that time called the American Medical Association, the AMA. And the AMA, these Puritans, these grandchildren of Puritans and Congregationalist Christians, as they came across the country and the territories of the United States at that time, they were scandalized to find that in every little small town, there was a brothel. And in those brothels, by day, they were abortion clinics, effectively.
Right.
So the men would go there at night and their wives would go there during the day for abortions. Hmm. And so you could imagine these sort of prim and proper 19th century Congregationalist WASPs would be horrified. We've seen enough cowboy movies.
Yeah.
And they would just show up and go, what's going on here? This is barbaric. And so it's really part of a comprehensive strategy to protect women from sex trafficking, from violence, and from abortion. What a wonderful opportunity for the GOP to message on this. They can message on abortion and race. They can message on abortion and the exploitation of women and migrants. But instead, they listen to the consultants. Their first step is to moderate. You know, I knew, I'm a bit of a planner. And in 1991, as an infantryman, I was a young Army infantryman. Mm-hmm. I wrote a 40-year plan.
Wow.
Full legal protection for the child and woman from the violence of abortion. And in that plan, strangely enough, I put probably around 2022, we'll see the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Wow.
And I thought by 2031, we'll have a constitutional amendment. Now, I knew, and I even wrote in my initial journals at the time, that following the overturning of Roe versus Wade, there's going to be dramatic setbacks to the pro-life movement and political cost.
Right, right.
That's to be expected. But rather than doing the great work that like Eagle Forum does, which is to train people at the state and local level, we have a movement that really for the past 35 years has been ordered around the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's right.
And yep. So the pro-life movement now needs to really take all that power, all that might, all that influence, all those people, because the pro-life movement is the largest, most passionate and diverse social movement in the history of the United States, and it has the most latent power. And my fear is that the GOP is just going to depress the enthusiasm of their most enthusiastic supporters.
Yeah.
From the biggest donors to the most passionate door knockers and phone bankers, most of them are there. If you were to say, what's the number one issue to you? They'd say abortion. So why would you take the wind out of the sails of the people that we're really going to need to get out the vote at the state and local level? So if the GOP gets crushed in November, it's not because of the issue of abortion. It's because the GOP's the way they addressed the issue of abortion, because there's a way to handle this issue that drives tremendous success with minorities. We see the uptick in the Black vote, the Latino vote. And I'm going to be writing an article. I've written dozens of articles on this, but I have a new article at the Stream called Machiavelli's Guides to Abortion in the 2024 election. And I'm just going to talk from a purely Machiavellian perspective. What the RNC needs to do, what Trump needs to do, is speak clearly and forcefully for the protection of the innocent, the child in the womb, and women from the violence of abortion.
We're talking with Jason Jones, and I mentioned he's a film producer and activist. He's the president of the Human Rights Education and Relief Organization, HERO. Lots of things. Just as we're recording this, and I am recording this ahead of time, it's the day, to the day, when his newest book is out, which is The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset, and available from, I think it's Crisis Publications, anywhere you get books. I'm looking at it on Amazon. And Jason Jones, again, an author. In this case, the reason I want to bring that up, besides talking about the book and congratulations, is when you look at the book and you look specifically at what's happened in the last few years, one of the things you talk about is the fear mongering, the propaganda that has come from the people who want to so dramatically change things. And I don't know if they're better at it, but they're sort of ruthless at never stopping. If they can take an inch, they take an inch. If they can take a mile, they take a mile, and they keep taking it, taking it, taking it. And a lot of our folks are tired, and they say, well, in the confusion post Roe v. Wade, for example, in all this messiness, we just got to, you know, we got to kind of take a break. We got to slow down. We got to, you know, try to be more respectful. And as you've talked about, again, there's at the heart of this is a truth, the truth of Christ, but also at the heart of this is a truth, therefore, of life, of something different than a really good book or a really good even sunset. A human being is something unique. And so I guess what I wonder, Jason, as you wrote The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset, it's the same army against us that's trying to spin us on, you know, follow the science. We know what's better. That's happening in the life movement.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And here's what's most important about it. In my book, I list the five ideological enthusiasms and tactics that the globalists are using to, quote unquote, fundamentally change the nature of Western civilization. I was a philosophy major. When you say fundamentally change something, that's a polite way of saying destroy it, because you cannot change something's nature and it will not remain. It's destroyed. So they want to destroy the West. I have the five ideological enthusiasms that they foment for control and power. And then I have the five core principles that we need to stand strong, that the Great Reset will break against. The first one is personalism. That is, personalism is another way of saying the Christian anthropology. That the Christian understanding of the human person is the fruit. Everything good and beautiful that we love and want to preserve and conserve as conservatives is the fruit of a civilization founded not in Athens, not in Rome. It was founded in Bethlehem when the second person of the Trinity became incarnate in the womb of a woman, of a human. And then Christians meditating on this for hundreds of years and 2,000 years now, we came to build these humane institutions, because the good news of the gospel is this, that we were created in the image and likeness of God, and God became man for us. That is very profound. That's what makes our civilization different. Our founding fathers said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Well, it was self-evident to the founding fathers, but it isn't actually self-evident. It was self-evident to the founding fathers because they lived 17 centuries after the incarnation of Jesus Christ. They lived in a Christian civilization where, of course, it was self-evident, the dignity of the human person, but it's actually the fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when you strike at that heart of the inviolable dignity of the human person, when you say that it's okay to, in some states, in some places, in some stages, to wage violence against the most vulnerable members of the human family, the child in the womb and her mother, you are literally participating in the Great Reset. So when you see Republicans grandstanding about moderating on abortion, what they're saying is, I am not willing to defend our civilization. So at the heart of defending civilization is personalism, defending Christian anthropology, and standing strong and saying, I agree with the founding fathers. I agree. Every human being has an incomparable dignity, beauty, and worth, and we should protect the most vulnerable members of our family, the human family. We should order our society around protecting them from violence.
Jason Jones, again, our guest. I'm sorry, I'm out of time, but I didn't even mean to get to your book, and so I'll get back in touch. We'll have you on to talk about the book. Jason Jones, I wanted his comments on Arizona and his willingness to be out there publicly saying what a lot of people are thinking. He is, of course, the president and the founder of HERO and all over the place. That's the Human Rights Education Relief Organization. They have two main projects, the Vulnerable People Project and Movie to Movement. I got to take a break, though. I got to run. We'll be back. Well, thank you, Jason. We'll have you back again very soon. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Time to catch up with our old friend Dan Schneider. And Dan is over on X at Schneider. I would someday ask him how he got ahead of that. He's a vice president of the Media Research Center and has particularly been leading on the issues around free speech. There's an effort at the Media Research Center called Free Speech America, also over there. And it's really important. So welcome back, Dan. How are you?
Hey, Ed, it's always great to be with you. Thanks.
So thank you. First, you got flagged for me to ask you. I one of your folks sent it to me about this lawsuit up. Everybody's focusing on Trump's lawsuit case up in New York. One aspect of it that was brought up is that they will actually intentionally, I've been talking about this all morning about other aspects of this, that the jury pool is tainted by design. The Democrats actually bragged about how, Mark Elias said, good luck in Manhattan, in New York City. That's a jury pool. We basically, he didn't say all this, but we basically brainwashed those people. They hate Trump. They think he's Hitler. One aspect of it is extraordinary. Orthodox Jews will not be allowed to serve, not even considered for the jury. Explain to me how that came to light and what that means, Dan.
Well, so I used to practice law in New York, and so I'm very familiar with the New York court system. And typically, big trials are scheduled to take place Monday through Thursday.
Right.
Shorter trials, maybe it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Mondays only. But this judge scheduled the trial to occur every week, Monday, Tuesday, skipping Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday. And it was just so odd. And lots of people assumed that this judge, who everybody knows is politicized,
right.
I mean, he would never be permitted to be a juror in this case,
let alone the judge.
His own family connections and his own political contributions to Biden and others. But why in the world did he create such an odd calendar? And then suddenly it dawned on me, if trials are going to be on Friday, that observant Jews, and again, I'm not talking about the secular Jews. I'm talking about God-fearing, honest Jews who follow Jewish laws and customs. They are not going to be able to participate as a juror in this trial. Under rabbinical law, most observant Jews, Orthodox Jews, cannot do any kind of work after noon on a Friday. And some will be a little more lenient. But yeah, when I was practicing law in New York, the observant Jews in my law firm, by the time 3 o'clock rolled around, if they were not out the door to get home so they could go to temple, they were freaking out. And some people have responded to my tweet saying, oh, you're an idiot. You don't know that sundown begins at 7 something on Friday. It's not about sundown. This is a misnomer. Observant Jews have lots of responsibilities on a Friday long before sundown. It is not possible for an observant Jew to be on that jury if the judge is going to honor his trial schedule.
Well, and more importantly, in a way, if, as you know, observant Jews and observant other faith of Christians or others, they will take it seriously. By definition, they're more serious. So they're going to say, Your Honor, I can't do this, because they're not going to risk it. And they're not going to say, this would be really fun and interesting. They're going to have a priority that's going to say, and then the judge is going to let them off. And in other words, again, as an attorney, I've seen it all the time. If somebody says, I have this objection, that's one that they don't mess with. I mean, the judge just doesn't want that hassle. But and back, Dan Schneider's our guest again, and he's an attorney, but also a keen observer as a vice president over at the Media Research Center and of what's going on in the country. You know, how would you describe the likelihood that you get a jury that is fair and representative? I'm not saying it has to favor Trump, but just the system is meant to work a certain way. It doesn't feel possible.
Well, the press accounts have indicated that anywhere between it's over 50% to 2/3 of the jurors, just in filling out the forms, have excluded themselves, either because they said that they cannot be fair, or because they have conflicts. And it's this complex part. They didn't have to say what the conflict is, but how many of those people said, I'm conflicted out because I am an observant Jew and I cannot serve on a jury if you're going to have us work on Fridays? And I failed to make the point. Why is this so important? Well, because observant Jews love Donald Trump. They love that he has stood for religious freedom. They love the fact that he stood with Israel. Religious Jews understand that Donald Trump has been the most pro-religious freedom president our nation has ever had. Now, I love Ronald Reagan, and he did important things, but Donald Trump has actually invested time in favor of religious freedom. And observant Jews love that about him. And so it's no surprise to me that this politicized judge has worked really hard to exclude this one demographic group that would be pro Donald Trump.
Is
one out of 12.
Yeah, jurors. Right. To hold the whole thing up. Dan, pulling back a little bit, when you see this kind of conduct, when you see, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I want to hear a different perspective, because I complain all the time and I whine and my listeners hear me say it. But, you know, the crown jewel of America is our legal system, and it's imperfect, but so is anything that's not heaven. And so we do the best we can, and we have the best in the world in history. One of the things we have is these checks and balances, so-called due process. When you watch what's happening in Manhattan, and you have experience up there yourself, you watch the statute of limitations is run, but they find a way around that. The charge is actually a misdemeanor. They find a way to put it on steroids and call it a felony. They find a way to control the jury, to control the judge. I mean, how bad is this?
Well, New Yorkers long respected their district attorney Morgenthau. He was a well-known, well-respected jurist who was left of center politically, but he honored the role he played. And now we've got a Soros-backed, Soros-bought and paid for prosecutor who is completely politicized. This is so contrary to the traditions of the New York court system. That New York court system, the state court system from top to bottom, had once been regarded as the best in the country.
Right.
And now it has lost all of that. It's been destroyed. It begins with the highest court in New York, which is referred to as the Court of Appeals.
Right.
All the way through the state attorney general and through all these politicized DAs. You can't get a fair trial in New York anymore.
Well, and you know, it's I, again, observer as you are, both a lawyer and at the level of Media Research Center, around the corner from where you guys are, the NRA has had its offices for years, but they happen to be incorporated in New York, in the state of New York. VDARE, anti-immigration, fairly stridently anti-immigration 501c3, I think it was founded in the suburbs of New York. They both find themselves, like Trump, in the crosshairs of this lawfare. I mean, it's not even just a disagreement. It's not a political disagreement. It's not a policy preference. We're going to have a governor who favors this industry or the unions over those are recognizable. This is the legal system being used against organizations in a fairly sophisticated way. We're going to go through your books until we find a crime, NRA, and then we're going to put you in a ringer in a way that's unrecognizable. Don't you end up, Dan Schneider, in a place where if you're thinking, functioning, reasonable, you get the hell out of New York?
Well, and so that's at the top where we see how these law enforcement agencies and I'll remind you, they've got guns on their head, that they are politicized. And what's equally scary is at the grassroots level on the left, they are cheering this.
Yeah.
They are cheering when the courts are abusing the processes to get the guy they hate. They do not care about law and order. They do not care about due process. I have done an analysis. All 10 amendments are original Bill of Rights. The left despises every single one of those 10 amendments. Though.
Right.
It is shocking.
Yeah. There's a fair point. I guess the problem is, for me is I dream, of a time back not so long ago when the courts and the legal system and the profession was a check on the rabid nature of the grassroots on the left or right or anywhere. I mean, it was, the point was the system did a better job than it seems to be doing now. The system is being, used against us. Dan Schneider, we're out of time. Dan Schneider, of course, is the vice president over at the Media Research Center at the MRC, by the way, for them. And he is at Schneider on X. I will put a link up to one of his tweets that got to this. I think it's important. And actually, Dan, if I can tell you, I think you should write this tweet again and maybe flesh it out a little more. Maybe it'd be a thread because you explained it even better here on the radio. I think it really is telling. And especially in a time where so much of the country is watching the sort of targeting and mistreatment of Jewish people's positions. This is a group that's not being allowed to play their role. And frankly, they probably at this point don't want to be bothered. They want to take care of themselves and their family and do their prayers. So important point. So thanks very much, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Ed.
All right. We'll take a break, everybody. We'll be right back. I'll put a link up on social media to Dan Schneider. Really good voice, smart guy. We'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily commentary continuing the conservative pro-family legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. Now, the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
More than half of college and even high school students gamble now. And one out of every five college students admits to spending some of his student loans or financial aid on sports betting. Many college athletic departments even partner with sports books to promote more gambling to students at the colleges. The highest percentage of victims of gambling are young men and their families. Until recently, the NFL strictly kept gambling out of football. But now the NFL has partnered with online gambling companies to tap into all the profits and to boost their television ratings. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said that the NFL seeks to ensure the action on the field is genuine and without any outside influence. But 3 dozen players and league officials have already been found in violation of the rules. How many have not been found is a question we'll never know. Holding the Super Bowl in Las Vegas this year injected even more gambling into the sport. While players were told not to place any bets while they were there, it's impossible not to walk past a slot machine in that city and not be tempted to play the slots. 14 out of 15 experienced odds makers told the Las Vegas Review-Journal that they felt Las Vegas would never host a Super Bowl, and yet this year they did. This is like holding a fireworks competition in a dry, flammable forest, despite warnings about the high risk of fire. Studies show that 16% of gambling addicts attempt suicide, more than 20 times the rate in the general population and the highest of any addiction. Today, young adults are compulsively betting through the apps on their phones, including while in the shower, while driving, and in the middle of the night. Microbetting entices sports fans to bet live on the very next play, but the fans are competing against predictive AI tools that know the odds far better than any fan can. Scientific evidence shows that young adults do not have a fully developed ability to assess risk-benefit until about the age of 25. It's time to rein in the problem of gambling by the young by urging everyone to delete their gambling apps from their phones instead of betting on the next play.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Do you have a college-bound son or daughter? Do you care about the next generation? At PhyllisSchlafly.com, we expose the liberal agenda and anti-Christian mindset found on most college campuses and help equip conservative students to stand up for their beliefs. Visit us at PhyllisSchlafly.com and join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height stepping in here real quick to wrap up the show for Mr. Ed Martin. Thank you for being with us today. What a great show. A couple of good guests. And of course, we kicked off the day with some enlightening, though not so good news about what's happening. Absolutely incredible. And I wanted to wrap up on that and talk just a teeny bit about it. Another couple of things that I think you need to know. But before we do that, let me remind you, go to ProAmericaReport.com. ProAmericaReport.com is where you're going to find Ed's Substack, a lot of the things he's writing about, some other things, including some special reporting this week, as well as going and following him at Eagle Ed Martin, at Eagle Ed Martin on X. But getting ahead of myself, we have a little bit to talk about I want to tell you about. And then also, of course, go to PhyllisSchlafly.com. PhyllisSchlafly.com is where you're going to find the archives of this program. You'll find the sign up for the Wink email, what you need to know into your inbox every single morning, weekday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and all the other time zones concurrently. So go there. Those two websites, you don't want to miss them. But wrapping up the show today, man, so much has happened. The ongoing coverage, the media circus, the zoo, basically, that is happening right now in New York City. We've talked about it endlessly. I've been on the radio a bunch today. Ed has been online. We've been doing broadcasts. He's been doing a ton of stuff. There is so much happening that you need to know about and see. Let me just give you a couple of things. For the rest of the week, at least, although this trial is certainly, you know, this is going to go on for quite a while here. Let me give you a couple of places to go to see, and then I want to make a couple of points about what we're talking about. Because maybe, you know, you hear the wink that I gave this what you need to know of the political assassination of a president, and you wonder, is it really that big of a deal? Is this some sort of cataclysmic event? Well, I think so, and I'll explain why. But just as a matter of making sure you have the most up-to-date information, let me give you a couple of really, really good sources that are doing a lot of talking and working this week. First of all, make sure you're following Ed on Twitter, at Eagle Ed Martin. Excuse me, on X, I guess. We're not supposed to say Twitter anymore. Make sure you're following him, at Eagle Ed Martin on X. He is doing a lot of work, including some live broadcasts with folks there in New York. You don't want to miss out on those. Those are really, really neat. Of course, you'll be able to go from his Twitter page, his X page, whatever you want to call it, and move into a couple of other areas where those broadcasts are happening. But one of them, you will want to follow Paul Ingrassi on Twitter. Paul Ingrassia, who we've had on the Pro America Report here, a good friend of the show. He is doing a lot of live reporting from New York. You want to go and follow him for some on the ground stuff, see what's happening. And then, of course, another one of our favorites here on the program, someone I highly recommend you follow this week during the opening of these proceedings as it all kicks off, is Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project. He is at Mr. DDMIA, MR DDMIA on Twitter. you want to go and follow him. Of course, also Paul Ingracia is at Paul Ingracia. That's two S's, I-N-G-R-A-S-S-I-A, at Paul Ingracia, and at Mike Davis, at Mr. D-D-M-I-A. Those are two places you want to go and follow. In addition to Ed, you will get some really crystal clear commentary. You'll get a good understanding of what's going on. There's some incredible legal background and political background amongst those three individuals, particularly. And I tell you what, I mean, that's going to be my go-to sources in addition to a bunch of others. But that's the case. That's the stuff. That's where you want to go to stay updated on everything that is happening this week. Now, let me dive into just a wee bit of an explanation. I want to shore up something that I said here at the beginning. We talked about how it is, in my opinion, this is the incredible cataclysmic political event, the political assassination of a president of the United States, unlike anything that we have seen in our lifetimes. And I pray that we will ever see again, although I'm not as hopeful in that statement as I am confident in the first one. But just in these last couple of minutes, I want to make sure if you actually don't agree with me, if you don't see this as being that cataclysmic, if you don't see Donald Trump as this obvious choice that conservatives, that the right wing must make to go and fight the deep state, then let me tell you something that I think is incredibly important. We always hear this, you know, this upcoming election is the most important election of our lifetimes. I think that a lot of people have said that and meant it. And they've been probably not technically incorrect, but they've been overselling it. I think that a lot of people have said that and not truly meant it because they were hyping or trying to get your attention for something. However, I truly believe, and I think that you know as well, this year, this 2024 election cycle truly could be a civilizational event for the United States of America. We are witnessing actively our judicial branch pieces of it and our executive branch pieces of it suppressing Trump votes, suppressing and removing a candidate of the United States. And for what? For what? Let me tell you this. Of these felonies, these supposed felonies that Donald Trump is facing, it doesn't take very long going down the rabbit hole to see what drummed up charges these things are. For instance, 11 of the felonies that Donald Trump is facing are for receiving an invoice in the mail. Receiving an invoice. He has 11 felony charges for receiving a piece of mail. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? And then you go down the list and realize 11 more of those charges are from them putting in putting an entry into their books for these 11 invoices that were sent. And then, of course, 11 times a check was paid out. You go down the list and see these, 80 something felonies that he's been charged. It's absolutely incredible. 11 of these felonies are simply for receiving a piece of mail, something that you don't have any control over. That's what they're doing to him. And if they do it to him, they can do it to you. They can do it to me. And I guarantee you they will. It's only a matter of time if we let this happen. Go and take a look. This is truly a cataclysmic, civilizational-level event for the United States of America. I firmly believe we've got to pay attention. That's my final plea to you. Go and pay attention and see what's happening. Thanks for being with us today on the Pro America Report. Thanks to Ed for doing all the reporting and letting me host real quick. Thank you to Mason, my co-producer, and to you, most importantly, for listening and making this show what it is. We appreciate you, and we will see you back here on another installation of the Pro America Report tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.